Okay, starting our lesson, Psalms 112, 1, we will start there. Just a little note about blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Jesus said that at the top of your page there. In Luke 11:28, Jesus said that. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. And then I just revisited the Psalm 40, 1 through 4, and it's talking about how blessed is a man who puts his trust in the Lord. And I wanted to, anybody have any questions about those readings? There in Psalm 40, I believe that it is messianic. In some areas there, because, yes, we are at the top of page, with number 6, blessed are those who hear the word of God. Psalm 40, there, some of it, I think, is messianic, because in Hebrews 10, talking about Jesus being the sacrifice and everything, this is quoted as down in verse 6 and so forth. So it's trust in the Lord for sanctification. We've been talking about that. And then not trusting in men with falsehood, other doctrines, other words back in those days, It could be the false prophets. It could be even the Jews looking to the law of Moses when Christ is on the scene, looking for the works of the law for righteousness and to make them right. But in this, we know that we're sanctified through the blood of Christ, and that we need to trust in Him and His Word and the gospel for forgiveness of sins. And we have studied that over and over again. In Proverbs 3, we'll quickly just look at that also. In Proverbs 3, I wanted to have you to look at a couple of verses there that I didn't put on your lesson. I have 13 through 15, but in Proverbs 3, let's go back up to verse 5 and 6. Talking about trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And then we drop down to 13, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy, blessed, well off. The subject that we're talking about are all who hold her fast. So, we begin this section of our study. You could either begin our study with being blessed, with understanding and valuing and loving and trusting in God's Word, but I chose to end with it. We have studied all those things about who Christ was, God's redemption plan from the beginning and through, and how we are to live, and the character of the citizens of the kingdom. And so we get to the end of our study, and what good does it do if we study all those things and we do not have the proper love and value and fear of the Lord to obey what He says? And so Lord willing, as we look at some of these things, it will help us to appreciate the Word of God and to value it, and the things that we've studied to reinforce that the God who created us and who did all those wonderful things and brought redemption to man through Christ is the one who speaks to us, who wants good for us, who wants us to share in the blessings that he offers. And so that's why for the next section I chose Psalms 112, 1. In Psalms 112, 1, Melissa, would you read that, please?
Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in
him. It starts out, isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Give glory to him. Praise him. Why? You know? How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. So, you know, if we have that right reverence for the Lord, we will listen to his commandments. And it goes on down, you know, he will not fear evil things, verse 7. And his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And he will not fear. And, you know, praise the Lord. He has given us his word. He has done all these great things. And he has, and we can see through his word, and we can obtain his righteousness, and we can have these blessings. And the thing is, if we have true reverence, what is our response to that? Obedience, sure, but to praise him, praise the Lord. Great thanksgiving to him for look what he's done and look what the effect for me is because he's done these great things and given us his word. Any comments on that? You know, did I put Proverbs 1:7 on y'all's thing? Okay, what does Proverbs 1:7 say?
The Lord's beginning of knowledge.
Right. Are we going to be the wise man, or are we going to be the fool? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to change. They mock. They scoff. Are they just, you know, or they just turn a deaf ear? And so, let us never be guilty of turning a deaf ear to what the Lord is saying to us. We do not want to become a fool that does not listen, even if it means bearing a cross to follow Jesus. If it means changing something that's very hard. And so we want to have that kind of reverence for the Lord. And when you have that kind of reverence, you will seek his word and listen to him. Any questions about that? Any comments? All right, Psalms 1. We went over this a little bit the other day. And it's one of my favorite places to go when we're talking about following God's word. And so, Pat, would you read Psalms 1, 1 through 6, please?
How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Okay. One is blessed when he, what?
Delights
in and meditates day and night in the law of the Lord. Okay. And I should have added and walks in it, you know, walks according to the law of the Lord or to its counsel, you know, because that's the bottom line, you know. And so, you know, one is blessed when he, you know, if you just delight in it and you meditate on it, but you don't apply it, how much good is it going to do you, you see? And so you walk in, your daily walk is guided because you look with pleasure. That's delight in, or you value it. And you desire to have it be a part of you. You know, you delight in it and you want from it and you value it. And you meditate. Meditate means to ponder over or think about. You could even pray about it, you know, in understanding and those kind of things. Any other thing about meditating that y'all might add that would help us to better understand? You just don't read a passage in the Bible, close the book, and, you know, not think about it again, not wish to apply it, not wish to know if it's, you know, what you read and how to apply it in a truthful way. You delight in it, you meditate on it, you go back and you study and you ponder over it because you want to be right with God and you want to do what it says in a rightful way. Okay. What does he not do? This blessed person, this spiritually prosperous person, what does he not do? Verse 1, what does he not do?
Walk in the counsel of the wicked, in other words, they don't guide what he does. He doesn't listen to what they say is right or wrong.
Exactly. He doesn't look for guidance from those of the world, nor listen to them, are to be influenced by their wisdom. There are so many self-help books. There are so many faith books. There is the Dr. Phils of the world. There's the Oprahs. There's the Joel Osteens. There's the TV preachers. There's movie stars who try to give you, you know, football players that try to put themselves up as a model and have some kind of religious witnessing that they do. And so people follow that. It may seem strange to us, but people do listen to that. And not only that, we've got children that are different ages and grandchildren that are different ages. Who do they listen to? Are you going to guide them to listening to God's word? Or are they going to listen to their friends, their professors? Poor Jordan. We tried to tell him, you know, that psychology was not really the best thing for his very right, wrong, black and white, and spiritually good for him. He went through a whole year of college, and then he started butting heads with the psychology of the professors and what they said if he continued, you know, he would not be able to get his degree and have the spiritual understanding and the spiritual integrity that he wanted to have. So he wasted a whole year in school, all that work. Not that he didn't learn something, but he could not pursue what he really wanted to help children in trouble. We've known some children that really needed some help and guidance, but he could not get that degree and still remain true to his beliefs and stand firm in what God's word says about how to approach things. And so, we need to be careful who we look to for guidance. Even when something comes up in our homes today, are we going to look to the eldership or to a godly woman or a couple look to a godly couple? Are they going to look for someone who's struggling in the same issues for a pity party? And so this man does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't look for guidance or be influenced by them. Any other comments on that? Okay. Also, what does he not do? Now, this is a progression of failure. This is a progress, you know, up in the other lay, he delights and meditates in the, and he walks, you know, and that is a success, a progression of success. He delights in, he meditates, and he walks. You see how he goes upward? Well, we're looking at a man that is going downward, starts listening to the wrong source. That's number one. Then, what does he do? He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. To me, that means that he doesn't, you know, live his life like some of them. Beginning. He doesn't start to doubt. He doesn't start to, he starts to doubt. He starts to compromise a little bit. And he starts to waver a little bit. And he may even step over the line to do things along with some of the people in the world. Not completely gone yet. Just got that foot over the line. He's standing in the way of sinners. He didn't say no. Don't we teach our children early on to say no to this and this and, you know, drugs and smoking and, you know, stealing and lying and, you know, we say no. We say no about a lot of things, don't we, Laura? And so, you know, we say no. But, you know, with God, we say no to God and God's Word. When we start dabbling in the world's activities along with them. Any comments on that to help us understand? Okay. And the next progression downward. Okay, so he started listening to, he started crossing the line every now and then, started doubting, starting to compromise. And further on down the road, he sits, this wicked person sits in the seat of scoffers. He settles in. He becomes, he takes their view as his own. And it's just not back and forth. His faith has turned to unbelief. His trust has turned to himself and the world and what he's doing, maybe others, from God. And I see it as, you know, hanging out, associating with, becoming identified as one of them. And the word there, the seat of scoffers, means mocker. To the point, have you known someone who's left the Lord and become so that they actually mock you when you start talking about God's Word? And they mock those goody-two-shoes or those Jesus freaks or those people who are so worried about doctrine that they don't have love. I've got that. And so, you know, you're just too straight-laced. You're just too, what's another word that y'all heard? What do you hear?
Legalistic.
Yeah. What?
Legalistic.
Legalistic. Good. Good. Yeah. And goody. Yeah. You're just too legalistic. And God is a God of love. That's where they began. Yeah. And he knows my heart. How many of you have heard that? And so, you know, they become not like God's people ought to be, but they become a part of the world. From being God's child to listening, that's how dangerous it is for us not to keep our nose in the book. And we can't, God himself emphasizes over and over and over again. You need to listen. Wisdom in Proverbs is crying in the streets, trying to get people to listen. And so, you know, but do not sit in those. So, he comes up against this, but he says no to that. Because he delights in, and he meditates in, and he walks in the law of the Lord. Now, how is he blessed? Verses 3, verses 5 and 6. What did you put down for how he is blessed in verse 3?
He said he has stability and he prospers.
Yeah. Yes. You know, that's figurative language there, but, you know, like a tree and everything. But he is firmly rooted. He's steadfast in his faith. And he's able to endure the winds of life, and he prospers, as Pat said. Whatever he does, he'll be blessed. He'll bring forth good fruit, and he'll be pleasing to God. And verse 5 and 6 there, let's just read 6 for how he's blessed, okay? No, let's read 5 and 6. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The positive side of that. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. Thus, the righteous will be able to stand in judgment, and he'll be among the assembly of the righteous. Because it's the opposite of what the wicked will face, as verse 5 talks about. So, the Lord knows, the Lord will bless, and the righteous will be able to stand in judgment and be among the assembly of the righteous. Any other thoughts on that? I hope you jotted down some things under number 4 there. Name one aspect of your life affected for the better by following God's word instead of listening to other sources of counsel. Anyone got something they'd like to share?
Well, not going back to work after I had children. You know, I had a college education. I was encouraged to do that. That I was determined to stay home and tell the Lord that I trusted that God would take care of us. You know, I trusted His word. I thought I was doing what He said. And it gives me, in another, like in America today, I do worry the way this country is going. But I have peace of mind, knowing God's in control. So I don't worry about it.
Two great examples. Thank you. Anyone else like to share? What about training your children? Anyone have issues with other people or issues with institutions or issues, you know? Now it's getting to where you're going to have issues with the government, you know, on how to train your children. How you deal with illness and loss. How you deal with marriage issues. Now that's a biggie.
I really think you need to be sure that we are teaching our children on how to stand against what's coming.
Exactly.
That they can be firm and know that they're doing says to do, and that's where they'll find their strength and comfort.
Mm-hmm. Some of us have little girls. Some of us have grandchildren and girls. What are they hearing from the world about career choices, about who they are, and, you know, the goals that they set for themselves? I mean, this attitude of what God's Word says and and what is out there in the world feeding us and our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren every day is getting wider. The chasm between is getting wider and wider. And this noise over here is getting louder and louder. And Christians are getting more numbed by it. We have to keep our guard up. We have to be careful, you know, that the majority's shouting doesn't wear us down, or our children. It is so hard, you know, trying to get our children to stay the course. You begin when they're that age right there, little old boy. You can start when they're very small, train them to do just what we're talking about. God's Word is truth. I love God's Word. I want to know God's Word. I'll be blessed if I keep it. It's like, if you do that, I'm going to spank you. If you do that, God's not going to like it. And you're, you know, and there will be punishment. They understand no spank. You know, they understand God's Word says this is the yes, this is the no. Pleasing, you know, parent is also very important to children. Pleasing God is more important. And so we need to start instilling this kind of attitude and the rewards and the punishments. And because they go to school and they deal with their friends, they deal with lying, they deal with cheating. Men at work deal with lying, they deal with cheating. Women, you know, can do the same thing with their household accounts. I know women who cheat, who lie, who hide. And it's not proper for a woman professing godliness. Okay? And so, raising children, choosing a mate, choosing a career, all these things that affect our everyday lives, even our priorities as women at home, how we're going to spend our day, what we're going to spend our mind on, those kinds of things. What is the fate of the wicked? We just read there. In verse 4, he says, "He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them." Can you just imagine that in your mind? I mean, we can't know what God looks like. But the God of the universe is up there laughing at them and scoffing at them. And he knows that they will be punished, you know, that his wrath is going to come. And so, but his blessing is on the righteous. He will speak to him in his anger. He laughs at him. He looks at him. He thinks they're just a bunch of fools down there, you know, not listening. But his wrath is coming. Okay? The wicked are not so. And I was down in Psalm 2, and I apologize, but I liked that reading. Okay. Okay. But the wicked, verse 4, is not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Okay? And the wicked will perish. So we talked about that when we talked about the reward of the righteous. Don't you know people who don't follow God's Word, who don't delight in it, who don't try to figure out what the course God would have for them as they live their life? Don't you see them just being unstable, and they go from high, low maybe, or they're shallow rooted and they get discouraged. If they were a student of the Bible, and they are not diligent in that, and they start to become that second level. They start listening to different counsel, and they become a little unstable, and their faith wavers and everything. They're shifting with every new idea, or they're shifting and they're not firmly rooted. And they don't bear good fruit. Their labors don't bring. Now, we see the rich out there, and we see people who seemingly are happy, but you really get to talking to someone out there in the world, and there is something in them that is not being satisfied. They are really not well off, and especially spiritually. And you know, he will perish when they don't get the right food, and their roots are not deep enough. They perish, just like the tree. Yes. Okay. Any other comments on that? Okay, Jeremiah 17:5-8. I should have put. Sandra, would you read that, please? Jeremiah 17:5-8. Okay. Comparatively speaking, about the same, you know, thought that's there in Psalms 1. And so he too will experience want of needed nourishment spiritually to thrive. And he too will be. And what is so funny is that he is so hopelessly lost and blinded by his want to listen to the counsel or be like the world that he won't even recognize or take hold of God's wisdom if he's exposed to it. They are so caught up and so want to be where they are that when God's word comes to them, it's like one of those seeds that falls in the parable of the sower, you know, just a little bit on by the wayside, you know, on the roadside. It doesn't take root, it doesn't do anything, you know, the devil just snatches it away. And so he doesn't even want to save himself, but just blindly keeps on with his plan of trusting in him, or trusting in false teaching, trusting in the wisdom of the world. Yet, and an added verse, did I give you all Jeremiah 18? Lauren, would you read Jeremiah 18:7-12? This is how bad it gets for these people.
Turn now everyone from his evil way and make your ways in your doing spirit. And they said, that is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans and do what everyone obey the dictates of this evil.
What we're talking about is not just a think up of, you know, us talking here. The God of heaven gave us an example of how people can actually get so far into the stubbornness of their heart that they say it's hopeless. This is the God who brought them with the Exodus out of Egypt, who showed all these signs. They have had Moses, they've got the law, they've taken the land, and I mean, this is way over when they were being taken into captivity. And they say, it's hopeless. So don't think that we or our loved ones can't fall into this kind of mindset. They did not listen to God's word. It's a great warning that we have. They would not listen. Any thoughts?
I mean, Jeremiah is a case in point of someone who did not sit in the seat of his comfort, and he did not make that progression. And he suffered greatly,
yes,
for standing and doing what God told him to do. And God told him to go do it, what was going to happen. But so we can, if we want to, be by ourselves and do good. Jeremiah, he may have had a few, like the man who was his scribe and those sort of, there may have been two or three people that he could count on and depend on. But the majority of the nation, that's why they were taken into captivity. They were so, so weak.
Exactly.
It can be done. Jeremiah did it.
Exactly. Very good point. Jeremiah did stand. And the Lord saw and the Lord helped him. And he will have his great reward. Okay. I think we're going to stop. And we will, Lord willing, start with Psalm 19. The blessings derived from studying and trusting God's word, as is in Psalm 19. Steve talked about this a little bit in his sermon. He did not go into the blessings, but he did talk about the Word of God there. And Lord willing, we'll pick up there. Make notes, please, concerning the blessings, you know, restoring the soul and so forth and so on, to add to the comment in class. Thank you so much.